Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to the after show for How to Get Away with Murder, where tonight we are talking weddings, betrayal, and the death of one of our favorites. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I can never get tired of this.
I'm going to dance just to perk myself up.
Pull yourself up. Yeah. I am just like, still, my heart is racing. Sorry for the most depressing intro that there ever was for the show right there. I like couldn't even. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the madness. Yeah. Welcome to the craziness that is How to Get Away with Murder. See you guys in the chat right now. Thank you so much. We're going to get to everything happening in there. First of all, I am your host, Nadine Delapel, and with me are my two fantastic hosts as well.
Yeah, what's up? I'm Jamie Gray.
Hey, it's CJ Walker. Back here again.
Back again.
Yeah.
And April will be with us next week. She is so sorry she couldn't be here tonight. And I know that her brain would have been spinning if she was right now, especially over Nate Sr. We all know.
Also, happy late Halloween.
Happy late Halloween. Yes. This episode was dark a little for that.
Yeah. Right? It was perfect timing for it.
Great theme to murder someone.
That was triggered.
What do you guys think, first off?
I'm really upset. I'm trying to contain myself, but I'm really upset about what happened to Nate Leahy Sr. I'm still a little bit confused as to what happened and who's in the snow, but I will save it for predictions. But overall, I think it was a really good episode as far as kind of pulling our heartstrings and really adding that thrill effect to what's going to happen next with Viola and the governor and, you know, her boss. So it's just a lot going on, but tens across the board.
Tens?
Yeah. Well, I kind of thought the show started off kind of slow, but then at the end, like, once all the big things started happening, mm-hmm. that's when it started to pick up. But,
Yeah, I really loved this episode. I loved that the case wasn't the focal point. A lot of times I like the case. I like diving into that and seeing what's happening. But I think that they've built up so many different layers of so many people's paths throughout the season so far that we really needed to dive into each one of them. And we see that not only with Annalise and Nate's storyline. We see it with Bonnie, what's happening there. And then also with our other Keating Five, what's happening over there with Gabriel and the wedding.
I think that's what it was probably missing because it didn't talk about the case, so I felt like that's what kind of speeds it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why it was a little slow.
Well, at the end, we got our rush point. I think whatever anyone was feeling in the beginning, we totally made up for it by the end.
Absolutely.
I don't want to save this for the end. Let's just talk about what's happening. Let's talk about the crazy murder that we just ended on. So what happens is, obviously, as we saw, Annalise and Governor Burkhead, they have their meeting.
Uh-huh.
Governor Burkhead, she, even though she's trying to play nice, I could just sense that something may be off. There's something there, and maybe there still is, and we can talk about that in predictions. But she wants to work with Annalise, and of course she does. She wants to get Annalise close to her. She wants Annalise to help her with what's called the Fair Defense Project. A draft a bill to reduce prison population by 50%. That sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing, especially on the surface. And Annalise is really thinking about it, but you need to leave Kaplan and Gold. And so we see Annalise now. She's constantly jumping from one thing to the next. And do you think it's because she has really good intentions to just try and do good for people and she's turned a corner? Or is there something else?
I feel like she's just she's trying to climb the ladder really fast. She's just like trying to climb the ladder of success really fast. And I also feel like the show's kind of pushing her story that way, like making her the next Olivia Pope.
Well, don't you think she's already climbed that ladder? I feel like she's already at the top. I feel like she's at now she's like kind of doing what she can with that.
She's at the top in her own, but I don't think she's at the top like over. She's at the top in like the where she is, I guess.
I see what you both are saying because it's like she's already stamped her name. Like she's already made her place in the, we could just call it in her field. But also I get what you're saying, CJ, because she's already had so much crap happen to her over the years. She's trying to like make a better name for herself because everyone always wants to bring up her past. But with this episode, I was really like, this is what made me upset. The governor is really putting Annalise between a rock and a hard place. She is trying to figure out where to move. And she's already worked so hard on, you know, Nate Sr.'s case. She's like, what do I do? I don't want to upset Nate either. Me and Nate have tried to patch everything up. So she has a lot on her plate. That's why she's like, this whole thing with Bonnie, handle it.
Yeah,
like,
handle it. Yeah, she tells Frank that you need to deal with this. I'm dealing with this now. But she's also still showing she cares. And we'll talk about Bonnie in a little bit. But basically, she leaves the governor's office with this thick packet of what will be happening if you come over. Like, you need to read all through that. Who has time to read that? Yeah, I mean, everything. Yes, please. But Crawford really, really, her boss really wants her to stay. And you can see throughout the whole episode of him just trying to do what he can. He gets great advice from Tegan being like, hey, if you have an issue with her leaving, you need to let her know straight up. Because she's a woman who, you know, wants to be fought for. She's for her worth. She's done so much. And I really loved that Tegan kind of had her back in that way. But Crawford starts kind of yelling at Annalise in the beginning, and she does not take lightly to it. And I love our Annalise sticking up for herself. And she calls him out on the misconduct. Like, hey, do you want another misconduct on your hands? Look at all these witnesses.
Sounds
what's
familiar.
Happening.
I think that was kind of catty for her to do.
But as she should. I mean, he's raising her voice at her. Like,
it's your boss.
If your boss would talk down to you like that, it's all about just, even if you look at the scene with her sitting down, him standing up, you know, he's, you know, this white man, she's this black woman, and he's like talking to her a certain kind of way. It just looks bad. And I like how she's like, I mean, I have witnesses right here. Like, what do you want to do? So I think just the symbolism of that too, it's so much bigger than just, you know, he's mad at her and her whole response. Like, sure, she's talking to her boss a certain way, but you can also assert yourself no matter who your boss is too.
Yeah. And also, don't scream at each other. Like, you know, anything in life, let's like take even out of the show. You don't need to start yelling to get your point across.
Inside voice.
Only I can do that, guys. Okay. So Crawford knows about what's happening, and now she's stuck with the decision. Does she leave to go and kind of make better in the world, or does she stay and make the better that she can here, which is kind of limited resources? And she decides to ask for something, which you should always do. If you want, if someone wants you, ask for something, see if they can give it. And it's kind of, you know, the back and forth of that. And the biggest thing she asks for is to pardon Nate Sr., which is, I mean, that is a big ask. And the governor says, like, well, that's a pretty serious ask right there. But the intentions, let's talk about the intentions behind that, of that her one big ask is something for Nate again. Is it the connection, the love she has for Nate? This is we're seeing her really attached to this case. And I know it was her first case, and I know that Nate's her friend, but to now put her current job on the line for it and everything that she's worked for based off of kind of, you know, wanting to help this one man out. What do you think the cause of that is?
I think she's like looking for a clean slate. Like, you know, I know that her and Nate are on good terms, but just everything that they went through in the past, I think she wants to maintain that clean slate with everyone who she's had a relationship with, whether it be friends like Bonnie. Yeah. She, you know, she wants Bonnie to be good. She doesn't want Bonnie to be in a stressful place with Nate. She wants everything with Nate's dad to be in a good place as well. And even with the governor, I was really shocked that she would do that with her job. But I also feel like Annalise feels like she's hot right now, so she'd be good regardless of where she goes. So I was hoping she would wait a little bit before making that decision. She didn't have a lot of time, but I was hoping, like, you know, talk to the Keating Five, talk to Connor, you know, see if they can give you another strategy to where maybe you don't take the governor's deal.
Oh, you think she would ask? You actually think she'd ask them for advice?
I don't think that she would, but I wanted her to.
Yeah.
I wanted her to just to be like, just wait a second, because
she has no one else to talk to, though? Say something?
I don't know if we've found that out. But do you think that she's doing it, though, what you were just saying? Do you think she still feels that she owes something to Nate? Do you still think, like, is it like a guilty thing? Is it like the guilt is kind of driving her into wanting to free him? Or is it just Annalise is just a good human and like, hey, I have this big connection now. Now is a good human. I know your eyes open up. I mean, she's still Annalise, but that's what I mean, like making up for it. Do you think she still owes Nate something?
Well,
is that it?
Like,
I don't know.
I think it's just because he's her friend and she's trying to do like what is right for her friend.
He also used to be her lover, though, too.
That's why I'm saying I'm trying to get into the psychology.
He's like
of
the
it.
Most consistent thing that she had for at least a while, as far as having that lover, that friend, that homie lover friend,
all that together. And so she decides, obviously, what we see is that she decides to ask for that that pardon, and then.
Someone saying she wants to do in the chat.
Yeah.
Someone was like, she wants to do something good, and the most good person in her life is Nate. So anything connected with him would be considered the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And remember, she was so guilty with Bonnie, so that's why she kept going back to Bonnie. Remember, that's why she had Bonnie come on her team and basically kind of raised and pulled Bonnie up. But thanks, it's Latasha. I see what you're saying there.
Yeah, it is. There's something just deep inside for her, and I like it. And like I've been saying this whole, I love Annalise this season.
Me too.
I love it. And you know, like how we do our segment. Keaton. Like, I kind of want Annalise to just be the winner
of it
every week.
She needs to win. She needs that win.
Every week. And what we end up finding out is that she goes and she turns down the governor. She says that she doesn't trust the governor at all. And she listens to Crawford. She listens to him. And he actually is right. He's like, I'll have your back. What do you think? I've been protecting you from this woman for so long now. Like, what do you think is going to happen when you get there? You think that everything is going to, you're not going to get pushed on? Look at 12B. Look at this article 12B. I did my research. I want you. And he fought for her. But then the governor pulls out, as we saw. Well, they decided to pardon Nate Sr. So either you take the job or you take the pardon. And like that right there, that decision, that choice right there to decide of what to do, that's massive.
That should show her that the governor is shady, because if she gives her an ultimatum, I think that's, it shows your character.
Well, like, of course, So now Annalise is kind of stuck. And what's happening at the same time, without Nate or Nate Sr. even knowing this, is Nate Sr. is still in jail. And he's trying to go to his mental health facility. We don't know how much time has passed right now, but a decent amount of time has passed. He should be, you know, transferred out of jail where he's at. And so Nate is trying to get him. And Miller helps Nate get him transferred, which maybe we can go into predictions a little bit later about this. But did Miller have something to do with what happened after? I don't know, maybe, but it was just a...
I don't think so.
I guess Nate went to Miller for help because of the connections they have in law enforcement, and they got him transferred to a great hospital. But then Annalise, as we see at the end, she took the job, which means Nate is free. And Nate Sr., he's writing this beautiful letter, and he's sitting there. And I thought for a second, I thought that maybe he hurt himself.
I thought
he killed himself or something there. When they were zooming in on the way his words were going to, like, I'll keep this burden. You don't have to. Like, live your life.
I thought that guy he was writing to probably did something to him. Like, I thought that's what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, when we found out that Leahy, he was going to be back with his son, I thought after he sent that letter, the guy was going to kill him. And maybe, like,
but he hasn't sent the letter yet. He was still
like
writing
before
it.
Before you knew,
you thought something bad would happen. But that's the thing, is now it's like the murder mystery, as we always try to find out. It's like, who knew that Nate Sr. was going to be transferred at the time? It happened. The murder happened between leaving the jail outside and getting into the van. Who could it be? Who do you guys think? Let us know in the chat what you're thinking right now. We know Miller knew about it. We know the governor knew about it. I mean, Nate knew about it.
Like, killed him?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. I know we can save it for predictions, but it's kind of crazy, and it's so sad, and I can't believe it. I know a lot of you guys, too, in the YouTube comments last week were saying it could possibly be Nate Sr. out in the snow, and I was like, how could that be a thing?
Why would he be invited?
Yeah, why would he be there? And then as soon as the pardon started being talked about, I was like, you guys are geniuses. How did you guys know that without even knowing about anything about the pardon? And unfortunately, we know now that we haven't solved who's
there.
There's someone else that's dead now. There's someone else that's dead there.
Yeah.
RIP, Nate Sr., we love you. You did amazing work. Wow. Moment of silence. Okay. We know that last week, too, how moment of silence are deep. That was our biggest thing. And another big thing is our network and you guys watching us. And I think Jamie has a little something to say about that.
Yes. What's up, guys? Hey, AfterBuzzers. So we, of course, have so many shows for you guys, for all of your favorite shows. So we're going to have so many after shows that you can check out. We produce all those shows for you guys. We have everything from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, challenge shows. I mean, we have everything, even animated shows. I'm on one. And of course, you can see some of our other panelists as well. So if you subscribe to our channel, I mean, YouTube will recommend content for you to check out. So make sure you subscribe, like, and don't worry about notifications. Just click off the bell if you want it, and click off the bell if you do want it. So just let's subscribe, make a comment, let us know that you did subscribe, and we'll shout you out. Thank you for tuning in to the ESPN of TV Talk.
Ooh.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You guys are amazing. We appreciate you. And in the chat right now, some of you guys are saying, Luna T said Crawford doesn't care about Nate Sr., so he didn't do it, probably. That Amy Fisher says you don't trust Miller. Maybe Miller had something to do with it.
I feel like Miller is a genuine person. I honestly do.
We'll see what's going on there.
But
we know that he knew about it.
Had that ring for Bonnie, like, he's just in it for his love.
I think I trust him.
I think I trust him now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Black Magic, he has a bullet hole in his head, though. He wouldn't have done it himself. Black Magic, of course. We saw his head, I thought he could have maybe done it on his own. But obviously, you know, no, that didn't happen. So keep trying to figure out what is happening, what's going on with it. But I think we should move on to something a little less sad. Yes. The Bonnie situation, which is still messed up.
A little less sad.
Just a little. It's just death and then,
I feel that one's like a little more.
Yeah, so let's chat about what's going on with Bonnie. So Bonnie's obviously at Julie's house. We see that. And Bonnie decides to stay there. And we realize that she hasn't seen her sister in a decade, in 10 years. And Bonnie is, you know, she's on a mission right now. She has this knowledge and decided to go for it. And we see later when she's talking to Annalise and Annalise is trying to give her advice. She's like, hey, you said that you'd support me, whatever I decide to do. So she sends Miller at home. She stays over there with Julie and she's trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And we see there that what's going on with her sister. Her sister's kind of a sketchy woman. And it's like, do you trust anything this woman is saying? Do we at all? And it's not just because we know of their history and their past, but this woman we see clearly on security camera carrying your baby out. How are you going to believe anything that comes out of her mouth if she's been lying to you for all this time?
Yeah.
Did you guys think at all when you saw the child that Julie had that I know they said it was a boy, but maybe it could have been a girl? I was kind of thinking that for a second.
Because wouldn't the kid be older?
No, I think it was roughly around the same age, right? 10?
No.
Oh, not 10, sorry.
Because the kid would be like a teenager, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think the kid would be a teenager. Plus, I was just really bit on the fact that they said that it was a boy. So I was like, at first, a quick flash, I was like, then I was like, no, that's not her child.
Yeah.
But just even the fact that Julia lied to Bonnie's face saying that she did not take her child. You're on camera, love. Mm-hmm. That's you. So
Shady.
It just kind of shows like, there's something off about the relationship, and I'm hoping that they'll show flashbacks, hopefully in
to see what has happened. Yeah.
Yeah. To see why there's like this turmoil between them. It's odd.
We see what their history was with their father and what happened there. And I mean, you get why psychologically they're both messed up. And that's why Bonnie coming back into that household and back into that whole life is just, it's kind of crazy. But luckily we have our Frank. We have our Frank who's here to kind of save the whole tribe and family as he always does, even though his ways are kind of bad and not that much appreciated a lot of the times.
Frank is literally a robot.
That's what he's there to do. He's there to help them. And we find out that Annalise actually sent him there. Annalise sent him there to kind of figure out what's going on. And so when Julie goes to the Narcotics Anonymous meeting, Frank is back there in the audience. I was like, of course Frank is there. Of course he knows what's going on. Yeah. He's there recording everything she's saying, but she doesn't actually fully tell the story, but at least he has proof to give to Bonnie of what's what and what's going on. And this is where
I would love to have a Frank on my side.
Frank on your side. Hey, but don't tell me anything. Yeah. Oh my God, Mr. Frank. And then at the same time, he's talking with Laurel, and we'll get into that, but he's like, hey, do you really want to know what's going on? Now you know what's happening with Gabriel, and now you wish you didn't know, right? Just let me do my thing. Everyone just needs to let Frank do his weird stuff and let him protect. So Frank is there, and Frank ends up, you know, talking with Bonnie about what's going on, and they piece the puzzle together. Were you kind of scared at all that something bad, worse would go down when you found the gun in the garage, that there was something more shady happening?
No. I thought it was going to be something else that she finds in the box, because the gun was a little underwhelming. It didn't really have anything to do with anything. I thought it was going to be something like maybe a baby shoe or something. Like she raised it and she knows everything. But it was a gun and I was like, okay.
It's just a gun. Okay.
Did it kill someone? Is there blood on it? Can we do DNA analysis? What's going on here? So the gun is the biggest thing. And then Bonnie confronts her sister on it. And her sister's just going around telling all these stories of what happened. But finally, at the end, we're able to find out the actual truth of what happened with the baby. Not that her father just went and, you know, gave the baby to someone random, sold him for money, which isn't so much outside the character of her father, because we saw that last week, especially, we found out that he used to sell their tapes of child pornography of them to people. Like, this man is
sick.
Is sick, very sick, and luckily he is no longer in the picture because he's dead. But it's not out of the question that he would, you know, sell a baby. So when we find the actual truth, though, that Julie buried the baby. Yeah, can we just go straight into it and not cover it up?
I don't know if that's the actual truth, though, because I I feel like he's still alive because I don't believe that.
Well, he's still alive, but maybe they heard the cries and stuff. So her final story is that she was in the car with them and her father was going to raise the baby and probably do some horrible things to it. Yeah. And she couldn't stand for it. So out of the love of her own heart and Bonnie, she went and ran and found this house, a lot of woods, and then buried the baby. And then now they're saying Jake is the name of the baby that he's currently living at this house because she trespassed a year after she had given the baby there. And that's how Bonnie and Frank were able to figure it out. But burying a baby, what the heck? And what?
What is going on there?
Yeah. I'm like actually like speechless. And you guys know I talk a lot. And like I just... Man, what is the thinking there? You'd rather have the baby dead than be with your father? Why wouldn't you just leave it?
They're coming from such an abused mind state, you know, so it's going to be hard for them to think straight. And I think maybe Bonnie's sister had a fight or flight moment where she sees that her sister is losing a lot of blood. She just had a baby. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want that baby to have the same lifestyle that her and Bonnie had.
Yeah.
So I think she just made a split decision that was very crazy. And she just took it and literally ran with it. Yeah. So it sounds really far-fetched and wild, but...
I don't buy it at all.
Well, you're shaking your head here. What's going on, CJ?
Because I don't buy that she took the baby and... Because at first she said that her dad sold the baby.
Yeah.
And now she's saying she took the baby and ran and buried it. Both of those sound absurd and unreal. I think there's another story.
You think we're going to find one more? And you may be right. It's always like that, too. I mean, it is just a coincidence that a baby boy the same age is now like a grown-up. Not grown-up, but older, living in that house. And that story kind of correlates. But I think you're right. I don't know, because it just doesn't make sense.
It's hard to trust her, but also this is why I want a flashback of what happened between them, because they're sisters, you have, your sisterly quarrels, sibling quarrels. I wonder if there was maybe some sort of, they were not that fond of each other growing up. Maybe there was something where they kind of sabotaged each other, under their father, because the father can manipulate the children. No, think about it. The father can manipulate the children. And if you and me were siblings, what if you did something to me to kind of sabotage me with my own dad? You know, they may not trust each other, but the only thing that's keeping them together right now is the fact that Julia has young kids, so it's like pulling Bonnie's heartstrings.
I feel like they only had each other as kids, so they would have been friends. But then, like, I feel like she was just taking care of her little sister, and she always had to have. They were like a ride or die.
But they didn't talk for 10 years
because she was using drugs and.
But they didn't talk for 2 years, not a phone call, nothing.
Yeah, because I think a big thing of that, too, was probably Bonnie just left. Bonnie went and started her own new life and was like, this is all behind me. This is all it. This is all done. Like, I can't be a part of any of this anymore. And we hear the biggest reason when she's telling her stories about why she buried the baby, why she did all this. She says, I did everything, she tells Bonnie, to protect you. Because just to protect you and not have that baby, to protect the baby. So... I don't know. In the chat, the chat's also saying that Julia's lying for sure. Luna T says, I doubt she buried the baby. Robbie M says, definitely. So everyone, I think, is on kind of on that page of maybe there's another story happening. Yeah. Maybe there's something else happening. But that was crazy. So now we've had two bits of like crazy, crazy happening in this episode. This episode is amazing.
It was
so good. And they're saying now in the previews that next episode we're going to get all the answers we need. But I feel like we got a lot of answers today, or maybe we got a little bit more confusion.
Yeah.
I feel like I got answers, but I think a little bit was confusion. So let's flip over to what was happening at Kaplan and Gold while Annalise was trying to figure out if she was going to stay or leave, and while Bonnie was hunting for her baby. So Kaplan and Gold, they're trying to defend a company called Gutsuckers. They're being sued for $100 million. People saying the diet pill doesn't work. And so Tegan is taking over as Annalise because Annalise is off busy doing life, living. And she puts Laurel in charge of it. And the reasoning, she says, is because your family has messed this law firm up so much that you deserve to have to deal with a crappy case like this. And it was some shade, but like... All right.
Great. Well, I love Tegan.
I feel like she just didn't want to choose Michaela.
I think so. I think that was that the biggest thing, too. Yeah. But I think it's all over kind of just like Tegan. I love Tegan.
Me, too.
Because, I used to not like her. But, she's just the realest it is. And now that her and Annalise are friends, she gives Annalise props when there is due. She no longer has these, hard feelings. But Michaela deserves everything that Tegan is still giving
her.
She
definitely does.
I do think that Michaela, has a thing for Tegan. She may, switch over to the other team for.
Oh, yeah. Like sexually? Like sexually. You think she has a sexual thing? Oh, I don't
I mean,
know.
And then Laurel keeps like playing in on
bringing
that.
Bringing it up,
so.
Yeah.
I don't know. We might see it.
Michaela likes it all. So
I don't know. I think more so with Michaela and Tegan, I think it's a Michaela longing.
Like an admiration.
Yeah, longing for the what Annalise never gave her. Like, she always wanted to be Annalise. Mm-hmm. And Annalise was like, no, honey. No one's Annalise.
You will never be me. Yeah. She wants that validation.
Exactly. Yeah. I think she wants and craves that, like, that, I don't know, that authority power loving her. Mm-hmm. And that's why we even see that she, like, undermines Laurel in front of Tegan. And, you know, she did that completely on purpose. Like, she'll throw her best friend under the bus in order
she's awful
get Tegan's approval. I don't know, maybe she's also in love with her, who knows what's going on with but Laurel and the crew, they were able to actually come up with a good way for the company to only have to pay $5 million, and it was just a really short part of the episode, but it also showed that the kids are still working, they're still doing good things, and in the meantime Laurel is on watch for Gabriel. She is sitting there, and we see in the opening, we see her looking at him, and at first I'm like, well, because he's just so good looking.
Because he's just so fun.
And I'm like, I'm checking him out, too. And then you see her eyes, and she's checking him out in, like, a bad way, too. And after we see the phone call that happened with her and Frank, where he's like, yeah, now you know, like, you keep an eye on him while I'm gone right now. I just keep looking at Gabriel in a bad way, even though he's just so darn gorgeous.
Which is, it's so perfect how they did that. It's like, you can't really hate him.
You can't really hate him.
I've never liked him. I just never have.
I really hope, and I know all of us probably do, like, can we find out next episode what's going on with him? Like, can we just get a little bit more? Because right now, we keep getting more of the stalkerish, like the stalking and all of that, why? I just want to know the why, and maybe I'm just being antsy about it.
No, we're here.
Are we ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Okay.
I am telling all of you, that is Annalise's son. Like, I'm calling
let it go.
Yeah. We'll save this for predictions again. We'll let you do it one more time in predictions, everyone. Chat, what do you think? So what we find out, though, is that as much as they want to, you know, he even offers to help Laurel with this case, because last time she helped him with the case. And so he's, like, trying to repay, like, hey, like, we can, you know, work on this together. And she denies him. And she's like, no. I'm good. Everything's fine. Everything's good. And then he's invited to the bachelor party that's going on the other side with Connor and Ollie. So Asher invites him, because Asher is just Asher. Just friends with everyone. And we didn't see a lot of Asher this episode.
He's my favorite one out of the
whole. He's your favorite?
Because, like, I relate to him so much. And he's awesome. He's a man.
Yeah. You need to do some more one-liners, though, because his, like, last episode especially, he cracked me up so much. But this episode, we didn't see a lot of it. But what's going on and where the bachelor party came from is obviously Ollie and Connor are getting married. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure out with their moms. Man, we had some mama issues going on tonight. Let's talk about that. So the bachelor party is is for the boys, of what's happening there. And
for the boys.
And we'll get into what happens with Ollie and Connor there, but Laurel sees Gabriel there, and Gabriel brings up that he knows about Wes.
What the heck?
It's like that, I shouldn't have, like, I don't like you, and don't worry, like, I wouldn't, especially knowing how soon it's been since Wes died. And the look on her face of, like, I think it all started to click together, like, oh my God, Frank is right. There's something happening here.
No, I loved it. First of all, Laurel is so smart, like, even just from previous seasons, I always thought she was one of the smartest, you know, people part of the Keating vibe. That's what I like about her. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really eerie, too. Now, he kind of tried to cover it up and say, oh, no. I mean, everyone knows about it. But why do you know so much about what's going on in my life? We're just classmates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, calm down.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he also kind of made me mad, because, like, chill. You're not my type. First of all, you were definitely flirting with her. So, I think it's... He's trying something.
Well, it's because she caught him in a lie. She full-on caught him in a lie, and now it's, like, official. Like, okay, there's some creepy stuff happening, and she walks away, and, like, the look of kind of, like, panic and horror. It wasn't, like, so much, but when she looked at him, it was like, just don't ever talk to me again. Like, stay away from me. Leave me alone. And it was, like, a fear of, like, oh, my God, why? Why? What is he looking into? Because they all have a past. Let's all remember this, that, like...
They've killed people.
They have murdered humans. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff that they've covered up. I mean, we love them regardless, where we say this. But, like, someone new coming in that's not a part of that crew, that's now bringing up stuff that they, you know, not even that they shouldn't know, but lying.
Oh, he'll be handled. Well, they're going to handle him.
All right, bye, boo. What'd you just say? Yeah, bye.
We love you.
Yeah, see you later. Yeah, bye. So we see that, and it's just, she put him kind of in his place, and that's why I'm hoping hoping next episode we can get just dive in a little bit more into the Gabriel storylines. I really want to try and figure out what's going on. Keisha Charmaine says Gabriel has to go. And then Luna T goes, Gabe is so nice to look at, though.
He is. That's the hardest part.
I am on the same side of you
like,
guys.
It's just hard. He can stay, but he's got to go.
I agree with Keisha Gabriel.
Yeah.
He's
got to go. Yeah. And then Black Magic 99, it's not murder if you don't get convicted. Mm-hmm. That's
true. I love that name. Yep. Just saying.
Innocent until proven guilty.
New name.
So let's talk about the mama drama. So Ollie and Connor, they're showing their moms. This is the venue we love. And it's kind of this raggedy place of like, put some flowers and like,
just clean it.
And like, elbow grease. It'll look beautiful and great. And their moms are just like, not happening. And the whole time we see this tension between Ollie's mom and Connor. And it's just Connor's like, your mom hates me. Your mom doesn't like me. Your mom, all this stuff. And we're trying to figure out what it is because she's so accepting about his sexuality. And so it's not that. Like, she's willing to drop a lot of money, thousands of dollars to help them have a beautiful wedding. But she just doesn't really want, like, this relationship with Connor. And so we see him battling at this, like, kind of for acceptance and Ollie trying to just please his mom so much. And they bring up something they haven't talked about in a while. And they bring up Ollie's disease that he had. He's HIV positive. Mm-hmm. And we haven't talked about this. We may have mentioned it last season, but I know this is the first time this season that we brought this up again. And he still never told his mom.
Yeah.
And it's just been this massive secret that's been building up inside of him. And the saddest thing was when she's like, we used to talk every day.
Yeah.
And now we only talk a couple times a week. Like, what did I do? Did I do?
Yeah, that scene was so sad.
It was so emotional.
I was holding back tears.
And it's just, and you get it though.
Yeah.
You get it. I mean, it's any of that is hard to tell someone, especially someone that cares about you. You don't want people to worry, and especially if they don't live near you. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that he finally went about it, and you get to see Connor and Ollie's relationship, how last episode Ollie really had Connor's back, giving him like, hey, you're better than this. Like, be a better person. Like, come on. Like, don't get angry. Like, make up with Annalise, all that.
Yeah.
And this time around, Connor's like, you have to tell your mom.
Yeah, the roles have reversed.
Yeah, the roles have reversed. And I love their relationship and I love like them, even though Connor annoys me a lot of the times. Yeah. I love them. But what did you guys think about the whole conversation that Connor and Ollie's mom had when like talking about the Power Rangers and that book that Ollie had made?
You know, I think, it's probably just a thing where the mom is putting too much pressure on herself,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as trying to keep up with what Ollie made as a child. He made it when he was a child.
Yeah.
You got to let that go. And then, as far as that whole tension between the moms, I was really confused at first. I didn't understand why they weren't trying to work together. But I think part of it is, you know, trying to accept the fact that her son is still gay. Like, she still hasn't accepted it. And then now you want a wedding that's even bigger. So I think she just wants everything to be perfect for her little boy. And he's a grown man now. Mm-hmm. You just have to kind of let it go.
I feel like she's just being a mom, being a protective mom. And that's her son. I was going to say that's how my mom would be, but no, that's not how she would be.
Yeah.
But no, I feel like she's just being an overprotective mom.
Yeah, she's being mom. Yeah, it's mama drama. Like, but the issue is that Connor's mom doesn't have that money. Connor's mom is like, hey, I don't have 10 grand to just drop on this. And Connor's not talking to his dad really all that much. They had a falling out, and he's the one with the money. And so it's like, what do you do? Do you do this to make Ollie's mom happy? Do you call it your father to get more money? So it's all this craziness that's happening. But the most beautiful thing that came of it was that Connor and Ollie's mom are now, you know, good.
Yeah.
And that Ollie came out and told her. And I wrote down this quote of what Oliver said when him and Connor were talking on the bed. And Oliver and his mom, and she says, I hate that you thought you had to go through this alone. And he said, I wasn't alone, I had Connor.
Yeah.
I thought that would make her like Connor more, but I don't think it really did.
Mm-hmm. You don't think it made
maybe it helped
you don't
a
think they're
bit.
Together like more bonded together after that
Connor and his all his mom.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know, it didn't seem like it because she was still trying to be pushy. I thought she was inviting.
Well, that's
him.
Just a mama.
Well,
that's
yeah, that's true. I thought she was inviting him to talk to him about saying like, thanks for being there for my boy, but it didn't.
It didn't seem genuine really for you.
No.
Yeah.
Well, also maybe as the mom, maybe she's like, I want to know more. Like, why don't I know more about Connor? She never talks to Ollie, so she's just probably feels really left out. You know how moms are. They want to know, like, who is this? And they want to know all the details. You're not going to know everything.
Yeah. And, well, the person that's helping fill in all these details is Mr. Asher. Our boy, Mr. Asher, is like, can I be your son? He's like, yo, we're brothers now. That was the funniest thing. He can always bring humor to everything.
I don't love him. What is wrong with that?
He's just too immature. I just, I want to slap him.
I like that about him. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah. And each mom that we see, Asher, of course, they all just want, like, you know, what's best for everyone, for Ollie and for Connor. And we see now, and we end it with the bachelor party, and we see the moms are there. Would you guys want your moms at your bachelorette or your bachelor party?
No.
Would you put, like, a big X on that, or would you, like,
I would literally
feel bad?
Tell them you're not invited. You're not coming.
Well, I don't think my mom would even want to come.
To come to the bachelor party?
No.
Wouldn't want to see what's happening?
No. My mom, like, blocks my Instagram and everything because she doesn't want to see.
Yeah, I'm not
having
mom.
Yeah. Yeah, mama's not allowed at bachelorette parties. Yeah. But it looked fun. It looked Asher was brought a stripper there. Asher, you know, was just leading that whole crew and that whole clan. And then in the meantime, we had to see all the sadness that happened this episode. So that was kind of, I know that was a quick run through. There was a lot that was happening in there. Anything that we missed that we need to bring up there? I think that was
just
a lot.
Just emotional roller coaster.
Just emotional, just sadness. All right. Well, then let's get into some special segment.
Oh, can we do Keating's Best?
Is there that we
time? Go. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So, yes, Keating's Best is when we choose who. Ooh, new music.
I like this. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. All right, so Keating's Best is when we choose the MVP of the episode. And who do you guys think that would be?
I'll go like last.
I think Frank is the MVP of this episode because Frank was there. Frank is always there.
He's Keating's Best.
He's Keating's Best because he was there to support our Bonnie girl. When Annalise was so busy and Annalise is dealing with her stuff and everyone's doing their own thing, he's there supporting our girl when no one else would be there for her. And he's the one who's solving the mystery and figuring out the biggest thing that's ever happened in her life. Okay. I shout out to you, Frankie.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to give mine to... Dun, dun, dun. I had it and then it just slipped my mind.
You want me to go?
You go. Go for it.
All right, I think my Keating's Best would have to be Oliver. Because because he like had that whole conversation with his mom. He let his emotions out. And he's
Oliver?
Keating's Best. Yeah.
All right, Oliver's a great one, too.
Yeah, I was going to say Ollie, just because of everything he went through, just kind of letting that out with his mom. But also Nate Sr., you know, he kind of had so much build up to this episode, and to go out like that, we're going to still remember the good times and how far you almost made it, so I'll give it to him.
I think Nate Sr. is season's best.
Yeah.
Can we do like Let's another do segment of like Nate Sr. being our season's best?
Actually, I think, I think Asher is the season's
best. This is Nate Sr.'s episode. We love you, boy. We love you.
Let us know in the comments who you guys think is your Keating's Best.
And now let's get into some news.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm really excited about this week's news and gossip just because so many of the cast are just doing so many great big things. So let's start with Carla Souza, who plays Laurel. Did you guys know that today is Latina Equal Pay Day?
I did not.
Yes. So a lot of people are actually not aware of what this day is all about. And I love that Laurel is here just kind of supporting it.
Oh, wow.
This is random, but I see her last name, Souza. Is she related to that? You know that guy who like did the fake Justin Bieber? His last name is also Souza.
Oh.
So are they related?
I don't know. You'll have to research and let us know.
Next time on news.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not quite sure, but SurveyMonkey says that about 30% of Americans say that they are not aware that Latinos are paid less than white men. Roughly 57% of people who are aware of this pay group underestimate its size.
Oh, wow.
So like just with jobs, people always care about the quota of, you know, getting that diversity in there, but they don't always worry about the inclusion. So, you know, equal pay is very important. So we support it too. Happy Latina Equal Pay Day.
Love it.
So the next story is Miss Viola. Did you ever imagine Viola Davis and Steph Curry working together?
No. Wait, what?
Yes, I would have never imagined it. Now, this is for something that's, you know, definitely a sad documentary, but I'm actually really, really looking forward to looking at this. So they're doing a documentary on the Charleston shooting. Hey. Now, this happened, I'm going to say, in 2015. Oh. And it was where Dylan Roof went to a church in South Carolina, and he shot about 9 of the members. It was very sad. It was, you know, racially motivated, and it's a horrible tragedy, but they will be documenting this.
Wow.
And in the next photo, it just kind of describes what Curry is saying. He says, "Emmanuel is an incredibly powerful film, and we're honored to come on board as executive producers." So I it's weird to see this mix of Steph Curry, who plays basketball, and Viola, this amazing mm-hmm. actress, but this could be a good team. So are you guys looking forward to watching
it? Well, yeah, I think it's great. I think no matter what you do, like if you're an athlete, if you're a writer, if you're an actress, if you're able to use your fame and power kind of to tell stories to help the benefit of people and goodness, heck yeah, I love the partnership. Go Steph Curry. And of course, our baby girl.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. But speaking of movies, Rome Flynn, he has a new movie coming out.
Oh,
so I literally love him. I follow him. I'm obsessed.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so he has a new movie coming out, and it is Madea's funeral.
Family funeral.
Yeah, so Tyler Perry, and the trailer's playing now. You might recognize some famous faces in there. I see Punk. He was on New York. Remember that reality TV from New York?
I love New York. Yes.
But he also used to be engaged to Jennifer Hudson for years.
Wait, who did Rome?
The guy that played Punk on
Punk.
I Love New York.
Yeah.
You also see
so long ago. That threw me. I was like, I was like, what?
Because he was in one of the first scenes on here.
Uh-huh.
Also, he was in the WWE, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So he has that, but he's in this
film.
So is Rome. Or Gabriel,
uh-huh.
and a lot of others. So
he's going everywhere now.
Yeah, I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not new to the whole acting game. He used to be in soap operas, and he's won Emmys being the youngest outstanding actor.
Mm-hmm.
So big moves for Rome.
We're going to see him on like Netflix with his own series.
That would be awesome. Well, yeah, I know he's doing so many other things, but also this will be the very last Tyler Perry Madea film.
Really?
You know, he's been playing this for years, you know, with the plays and the movies. I know it kind of fell off a bit, but he does have
Madea.
Some funny movies.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, and let's see, one more last clip.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in honor of Glenn Turman, who plays Nate Sr. Go ahead and play this clip. He's just having a great time. Halloween was last night. And Tina Lawson, a.k.a. Tina Knowles, Beyonce's mama, posted this, and it's of him dancing.
Oh.
Yes.
This is a great send-off.
Because
he's happy regardless, even though our boy in the show is gone.
Is he friends with Beyonce's mom?
Oh, I'm sure. I feel like she's friends with everybody's mom. She's friends with, like, you know, Octavia Spencer,
mm-hmm.
everybody. But at first, who he's playing, if you guys are wondering, he played a character from back in the 70s called J.D. Walker in J.D.'s Revenge. I haven't seen it, but...
What were you guys for Halloween?
Mm-hmm.
I was, my favorite singer is Aaliyah. She died in a plane crash in 2001. Baby girl. I love her, so I wanted to pay homage.
Mm, there you go. I wore Harry Potter pajamas and had a little lightning bolt and passed out candy, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
You guys see a photo on my Instagram.
I was the Rock, you know, with the fanny pack and the turtleneck.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
That's a classic funny photo.
Yeah. And then I was also like a greaser. I did too.
Oh, you did too?
Yeah.
Look at you, double
down.
All right, now let's get into some predictions.
Oh my goodness.
Is it Halloween again?
Yes.
This is. Oh, the Rock's here.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Prediction time. What are you thinking, girl? I'm going to let you go first this time around.
Okay. So I'm thinking as far as who is in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're thinking Nate, but I'm also thinking it could be Gabriel because he's already kind of just that whole scene with Laurel. I think she's a little iffy about it because he's been invited to the bachelorette party. Maybe he will also be invited to the wedding, or it could be Frank. Because Frank has been everybody's...
Oh,
I know.
I don't think it'll be Frank.
Well, let me explain.
It's her prediction, CJ.
It's my prediction. I don't want it to be Frank, but I think it could be just because he's in everybody's business, from Bonnie to Gabriel, and I'm sure he would be invited to the wedding.
He's in everybody's business.
But do I think that he's dead? No. He could just be bleeding, and maybe Bonnie was there to, like, help mend a wound or something. Yeah, you know how, like, she would just probably just, like, hear pressure and now get out of here. Like, she probably helped him and then ran to the bathroom.
Nurse. Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's held baby Christopher before, too. Mm-hmm. And he's close with Laurel, so that's why the baby was there. And Bonnie, honestly, I could be right.
You're thinking Frank's injured, not dead.
Yeah.
All right, CJ, what are you thinking?
I highly disagree with that. I don't think that. Like, why would they show her just... Here's this Band-Aid.
She could probably apply pressure, probably wrap something up really quick. I don't know. Probably because did she have a coat on and then she took it off in that scene? I can't remember. And I know Black Magic says it can't be Frank. But Robbie agrees with me, says, I said Frank was the MVP. Oh, well, never mind. I don't know. I think it's Frank in the snow.
We'll have to go back and look at everything. Yeah. CJ, what are you thinking?
So my prediction is more so about the murder. Mm-hmm. I think that the governor... clearly did something with that.
The Nate Sr. murder.
Yeah, Nate Sr. murder. I think that the governor, like, clearly had something to do with that. So, and then Annalise just, like, walked into a trap, especially, and we saw that at the end. Mm-hmm. So, and then for my, what is I going to say? I'm blanking.
You're blanking. No, sounds fun.
I think that it is, not break. No, in the snow, I think it could either be... I think it's Oliver.
Oliver?
Because he's still not seen, because they're still looking for him. He's still not anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I can't.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it is possibly Nate in the snow again. Nate's phone is with Bonnie. I'm still going to kind of go with Nate is the one in the preview that we're seeing in the snow. And also, I did see the cake topper in the beginning of the episode. Mm-hmm. They did show it again. They showed it in the first couple of episodes of The Two Groomsmen, and they keep going back to it that we haven't seen it in about two episodes, and now we just saw just a little picture. I don't know what
that means. It means it's Oliver.
Is it Oliver the one falling down? Who knows?
But then why would it be? Why would, like, Bonnie want
to
kill?
Why would anything happen in this show? I don't know, CJ. I don't have the answers to all of it. I think hope we're going to find out more about Gabriel. And, you know, maybe there could be more than one person that's actually injured. So maybe Gabriel's also a part of that. The Nate Sr. thing, I definitely agree with you. I think the governor is behind that 100%. Yeah. And I think we are going to get to the bottom of it.
And
I hope.
Another prediction. Michaela is going to get with Walter.
I don't want to see that, Tegan.
With Tegan? Leave that. Yeah. I don't know. All right, guys. Well, thank you guys so much for watching with us. Please tell us what your predictions are in the comments below. We'll be checking it out. Thank you guys for being in the chat with us tonight. That was a lot of fun going through all of this.
Yes.
Very sad as well. RIP again to Nate Sr. Please remember to like, subscribe, give us 5 stars on iTunes if you like this, and we appreciate all your help. My name is Nadine Dalipal. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Hey guys, Jamie Gray. You can find me on Twitter at It's Jamie Gray or on IG at Jamie Gray.
What's up? CJ Walker signing off. You can follow me everywhere with CJ Walker, even on YouTube, because I'm a YouTuber. Also, Instagram, you can go check out my picture of The Rock.
Yeah.
CJ Walker.
Bye guys. See you next week.
Later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.